Thanks for listening to the Suzy Larson Life podcast, available thanks to support from listeners like you. Welcome to Suzy Larson Live. Always so honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, as I mentioned last Friday, I've taken last Friday and this Friday to draw some content from my book, Prepare Him Room. Also today, I'm going to tell some stories of some of our holidays that took turns that we weren't expecting, weren't hoping for, but how we met God in them. I'm praying so with all my heart that by the end of this hour, you just feel settled into the love of God, expectant to see Him meet you on the path where you find yourself right now. And, you know, so often we want relief. We look at these commercials of Christmas holidays, and especially if you're walking through hardship or times of sorrow, it feels like such a vast chasm between you and what looks like on the screen. And sometimes we forget that those people are actors with lights and scripts, and they go home to their very broken, imperfect lives. And I always say this, that a commercialized Christmas causes either pride or despair. We're either proud of our accomplishments of creating this, you know, facade that everybody's impressed by, or despair that we cannot reach it because our lives are just not there. Our lives don't match it. But the true Christmas spirit, I mean, Jesus came when people were desperate. He came when people were suffering injustice. He came when people were praying for a breakthrough. And sometimes I know from my own story, I've wanted relief when I could tell God wanted redemption. I just wanted relief from my immediate circumstances, but God was after something so much bigger. So I'm going to share a few stories from our lives, kind of a pretty intimate inside look to some of our struggles, and hopes to encourage you today. I want to say we're giving away some great resources today. Thanks to Bethany House Publishers, we have 5 more copies of my Advent book, Prepare Him Room, to give away, along with the beautiful scenic quote cards. Those will come from Bethany House, and you can text the word book to get in on the drawing. 877-933-2484. When that link is kicked back, because our producer receives hundreds of requests, there's a place where you're asked, what resource are you asking for? Just put the word prepare in that form. But also, Kevin and I would like to give away today 5 bundles of Your Powerful Prayers and the accompanying DVD. That's probably one of my favorite DVD companions of all the books I've done. So you go through the study, then we go through the book, and then you get to watch the companion DVD series, and the videography is so beautiful. And I just love it so much. And I'll be reading a little bit from Your Powerful Prayers a little bit later in the show. So Merry Christmas. So we're going to give away. Those are $45 values for each bundle. So again, you can text the word book to 877-933-2484. When the link kicks back, just specify prepare or powerful prayers, so you Angie knows which resource you're asking for. All right, so as I said, I'm going to share a few stories. Before I do that, I want to ask you a couple of questions. I asked this first one last week, and I'd love for you to chime in. If you could have a Christmas miracle, what would it be? If you could have a Christmas miracle, what would it be? Would you share that with me? Here's the text number again, 877-933-2484. And the second question is, how can we pray for you? We love to pray. We believe in the power of prayer. I've seen too much to turn back now. God answers the prayers of His people. Our prayers activate activity in the heavenly realm. Our cry reaches God's ears. Scripture says so. We would love to stand with you. Let us know. If you could have a Christmas miracle, what would it be? And you want to do these in the same text, you sure can. How can we pray for you? Here's the number, 877-933-2484. So here's my first story, and I'll take a little music, Angie, when you're ready. We tell a lot of stories about our family life, and we've touched on this one before, but I don't know that I've told it in such detail. But I want to say this was almost 25 years ago. Kev was we were in our mid-30s, and it seemed like for me the disease, Lyme disease, was settling down. And, you know, if you know about Lyme, it's cyclical. There's times you think you're getting better, and then you get hit again. I didn't know enough about it back then. I thought maybe I really am getting better this time. But things just didn't feel as hard. And we thought, maybe things are going to turn around for us now. And Kev decided to be the one to write the Christmas letter. He said, I want to do it this time. And he just recalled where we've been. He pointed out just different friends, the way that you stood with us and prayed with us. And we really get a sense that our season has changed. There's been a shift in the season. Kev sent the Christmas letter out, and within a few days, he discovered a lump on his body. He went to the doctor, and the doctor said, this lump is hard and it's attached. Neither of those are good. And he sent us to a urologist. And so we went to a urology appointment, and it was in the evening after work. And I remember sitting in that little room. It was around Christmas time. And as soon as the doctor put the scan up on the screen, I gasped. He had a little lighted board, and the scan went up, and I saw the scan. The tumor looked like an upside-down octopus. It filled the space, and then it had tentacles reaching up to Kev's stomach. The doctor spun slowly around on his chair, and he breathed a heavy sigh. He said, we're looking at about a year's worth of growth here. We need to schedule surgery right away. And based on the type of cancer we find that you have, we'll decide whether or not you need chemo or radiation. You'll likely need one or the other with this kind of growth. Our kids were home waiting for the news, and suddenly our story took a shift. I was always the one with the battle. And I remember stepping out of that office building, looking across the parking lot at the hospital. Snowflakes were falling like big, giant cotton balls. It was gorgeous, gorgeous winter night. Kev and I just instinctively reached for each other's hands and held hands and kind of gave each other's hand a squeeze. And we looked at each other, and suddenly a peace filled us both. And we said something to the effect of, God has never failed us. And he's not going to fail us now. We're going to trust him in this. God, you're still God, and we know that you're good. And we walked across that parking lot slowly as Kev got ready for more labs. And we looked at a journey that we did not see coming. Kev, in January of that year, next year, had major surgery. The incision was about a foot long from his groin up to his stomach. You know, he was mid-30s, and they said he was way too old for testicular cancer. That was the kind of cancer, and it's very treatable, but it can be very dangerous when it goes too long. The radiation was very difficult, and my big giant of a man fell hard. Got very sick. Some nights he would be on all fours in the bed, and he gave me permission to share this, but he would rock back and forth moaning in pain because his spine was inflamed and his skin hurt and his jaw would lock up and from the anti-nausea medicine, and I'd lay my hand on him to pray, and he'd ask me not to touch him because his skin hurt. So I put my hand on his pillow and I pray. And those were times where I was so afraid because he was always the strong one, and then I saw him so weak. But we've sensed God's nearness. We sensed his withness. And we really, when I look away from my fears, we had peace. We had provision. We didn't lack anything. Sometimes the neighbor kids would come and knock on our door to play with our boys. And I'm sure their mom sent them over to help us out. But our boys just never wanted to stray far from their dad. They just wanted to stay close and play on the floor. He had this easy chair that he'd come home after radiation, cover up in a blanket. And they just stayed close. And I remember one time, when a neighbor brought treats over for my boys, they were sitting on the floor next to Kev's chair, engrossed in a video game, all holding the controls and just engaged with their game. I tried to get them to turn around and thank our nice neighbor, and they weren't having it. Finally, I said, boys, what do you say to our friend for such a nice gift? In unison, they all turned around and said, sorry. And I left, and I was embarrassed. And I said, sorry, that was the wrong programmed response. And she chuckled and graciously hugged me. And then she left. It was a messy time. Kev tried to work a few hours each day, though he admitted he never got much done. He'd go to work for a bit, shuffle through his paperwork, stare at the wall, then head to radiation, back home again to sleep in his easy chair. One day he came home. He dropped his bag and he leaned on the counter for strength. And he said with more passion than I was used to hearing from him, what are we doing? What am I doing? I said, what do you mean? I could tell he had something really important to say, so I slipped up onto the counter and tried not to breathe, and I waited for him to continue. He said, I was on my way home from radiation just now, stuck on an entrance ramp because this guy at the bottom of the ramp wasn't moving. A whole line of cars honked. They gestured out the window, yelling at him, but to no avail. He didn't move. One after another, these people angrily swerved around him and stared at him, laid on their horn, shook their fist at him. He goes, "Of course, I would never have cussed anybody out, but normally I would have been irritated because I have so many important things to tend to. But today I just didn't have the strength. So I waited my turn. When I finally got to the bottom of the ramp, I looked to see why this guy wasn't moving. And then Kev's voice cracked and he started to cry, which was a rarity for him. He says, "The man at the bottom of the ramp is one of my radiation buddies. He's got lung cancer and doesn't have long to live. And he was having a coughing fit. The reason he inconvenienced all these people was because he was fighting for his breath." I covered my mouth with my hands and tears escaped my eyes. And he said, "What have I been doing?" And up to this point, my hubby was a major workaholic, and I've been praying and praying, "God, breakthrough." So to hear him say, "What have I been doing?" He says, "I've been working so hard, too hard. You've been telling me, but I haven't listened. I've already missed so much. What's more important than my family? I have you and I have the boys, and I'm still here. I don't want to miss what God has for us." That was one of the most sacred moments of our marriage. You know, there are times when our stories feel so painful, we don't even know how to ask for help. But if we're at least open to God's intervention, He'll meet us on our paths of suffering. And He'll bring perspective when we need it most. He's near to the brokenhearted, near to you in this moment, wherever life finds you. He cares so much. He's passionate about your story. He'll get to you. Look for Him. You're going to find Him faithful. We're going to take a short break. And I ask you to invite God to speak to you right here, right now. Speak to you about your story, about His goodness, about His promise that it's impossible for Him to fail you. And He's writing something beautiful in your life. When we come back, I'm going to play a song that I think will minister to your heart. We'll be back in a minute. Hi, I'm Suzy Larson, host of Suzy Larson Live, and I want to just look back over my shoulder this year and just say thank you to God and thank you to you. Thanks to God for all of His provision, and thanks to you for listening and allowing us to do this journey with you and encourage you along the way. It is absolutely amazing to us that we are getting emails and seeing that we have listeners all over the world in some of the remotest parts of the earth, and that couldn't happen without faithful friends saying, "I'm going to step into a story that's bigger than I am. I benefit from Faith Radio, but I want others to benefit too." And because of that big story heart of faith, we've been able to keep growing and going. But we're not finished yet. We feel like we're just getting started. And we know that there are many, many of our listeners who listen, who love it, who benefit, but have never given before. And I say this with no condemnation, but I am issuing an invitation. If you've never given a gift before, or maybe you haven't given a gift yet this year, there's still time. Would you consider giving a tax-deductible year-end gift to Faith Radio? Help us keep growing and going, because millions of people still need to know about the hope of Jesus. You can give safe and secure online at myfaithradio.com. Give me Jesus. Oh, give me Jesus.
This world, oh, give me Jesus.
Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live. We're having a different day today. Don't have a guest purposely. Just wanted to take you inside of some of our more intimate stories, especially around the Christmas season, where our story took a twist or a turn we weren't expecting, but God met us there. And in the first segment, I told the story of my husband's battle with cancer and just how God so met us there. Kev says, I don't want to go through it again, but I wouldn't trade it for the world. He often says that. So now I want to just play a song sung by Natalie Grant and Danny Gokey. And I pray that you will pray along with it, that the Lord Jesus will intervene in your story and minister and guard and guide you as the apple of his eye. Pray this ministers. Here it is.
Luce che tu dai,
I pray we'll find your love,
nel cuore resterà,
and hold it in our heart,
a ricordarci che,
when stars go out each night,
l'eterna stella
sei,
nella mia preghiera. Lead us to a place,
guide us with your grace,
give us faith so we'll be saved. A world where pain and sorrow will be ended, and every heart
I sing like that on the inside. Maybe in heaven I'll sound like that. Wow. Danny Gokey, Natalie Grant. And normally we can't play songs too often on this talk station, but I love it when we can interject those once in a while. Just sharing some stories from some of our Christmases and hopes to help encourage you. Would love to hear from you. Have you text in. If you could have a Christmas miracle, what would it be? And I'll share some of those here in a bit. And how you need prayer. Maybe that's your prayer request, but if there's something you'd want to add, you can text that as well. 877-933-2484. So one of the stories, I have three sons. They're amazing. And you know, I don't talk about them a ton just because they're pretty private and they let me tell some stories, but they really like to do life out of the public guy, so you're not going to see much. If you follow me on social media, we're so connected. But I don't comment often on anything on their stuff just because people are funky. And they just want to be protected, and I'd love for them to be protected. But there's a story that I've actually written about in, I think, one of my books, maybe two. My oldest son, Jake, who was really compliant, and he was in high school, and he asked, my husband was out of town. This was the winter time around the Christmas holiday, and I had a white Chevy Blazer. And Jake asked if he could use my truck, and there was a storm coming, a snowstorm. And he's just going to go sleep over at a friend's. And I said, you know, you can't go anywhere. You've got to park it once you're there. It was just a mile away. And then be home in the morning before we go to church. And he said, I'll do that. And I said, I really, you know, I know it's maybe tempting, but just be so careful. Don't go anywhere else. And he says, I won't, Mom. I won't, I promise. So he went to his friends, and he really was like that. He has a deep conviction and a lot of deep, sensitive spirit, like his mom. So he gave us no reason not to trust him. So what happened is he was in the garage with his friends. There was a bunch of buddies sleeping over, and they were working on someone's car for several hours. They had music playing, and the snow had since stopped, but one of them needed a part, and they said, "Let's run out to Walmart or somewhere where they needed to go to get the part. Jake, how about you drive?" And he said, "I literally did not remember that I'd made a promise because it had been in hours. It hadn't seemed bad outside." And so they got in the car and they were driving on the way back from the store. All of a sudden it hit him. Oh my goodness. I promised my mom I wouldn't go out. At that same time, they were coming by a big parking lot, a high school parking lot. And they're like, "Look at all that fresh snow. Dude, drive in there. Let's do some donuts." And he goes, no, we got to get back." And they're like, "Don't be, you know," and they were calling him names and kind of peer pressuring him. And he kept saying, "No, I can't do that." And they you know, teased him enough that he did. He went in and started doing these spinning things with my truck. And at one point, he slid and slammed into, it was like a concrete structure that housed, I think, garbage cans or something. Did nothing to the building, but it did $3,000 of damage, bashed in the whole side of the Blazer. So the next morning, I'm getting ready for church. My dear son comes in the door and comes up in the bathroom, and I'm standing there, and his eyes are welled with tears. And I said, "What's the matter?" He says, Oh, Mom. I'm like, "Well, are you okay?" And he said, "I did something terrible." And he brought me down, and the whole side of the Blazer was bashed in. And then the side mirror was hanging by a cable. And I'm like, "What happened?" And he explained what he did. And I said, "Honey, you got to go to your room, and you need to think about what you just did to my trust and my truck. I need some time to think about this so I don't say anything that I will regret." And I went into my room, and I called Kev, and he's like, "We'll talk about it as a family when we get home." And then Luke, my very emotional, strong-willed child, was bawling in his room. And I went up and like, "What's the matter with you?" And he's like, "Mom, don't be too hard on Jake. He's become my hero. And besides, this is more like something I would do, don't you think?" And I'm like, "Honey, don't worry. We're going to handle it. It's going to be okay." And I went and hugged Jake. I told him I loved him. And I said, "We're going to work it out." And when my hubby came home, we had a family meeting, and we said, this was pretty significant, son. And we said, "We're going to handle this as a family. And brothers, do you have any questions for Jake?" And they did. And he answered them very humbly. And Kev said, "Son, look at me." He said, "I want you to know, I still trust you. You've taken a major withdrawal out of the trust account, but there's still some in there because you've lived such a trustworthy life. I still trust you. There will be consequences. We'll have to get an estimate. We're going to have to figure out how to work this out. You need to know there will be consequences." He goes, "Yeah, I know." But he said, "I love you and I trust you and I really respect you." And I said, "I do too, honey. I still trust you and respect you and love you so much. Somehow, some way, we're going to get through this together." Well, as I said, we learned it was $3,000 worth of damage. And I don't remember if it was a deductible or what, but either way, we said he needed to pay it. And he took it. And he started to get all these odd jobs of shoveling snow and even into the summer painting fences. And in due time, we saw he was paying. And I think he got probably $1,700 in on the debt. And then the consequences started to have a negative effect. And so I'll tell you what happened next on the other side of the break. I'm Susie Larson. Again, if you want in on the drawing for Prepare Him Room or your powerful prayers, text the word book to 877-933-2484. 2484 when you get the form. Either write prepare or powerful prayers to just identify the resource you're looking for. Giving away a book and DVD, 5 of those, and 5 prepares. We'll be back in a minute.
A mysterious star in the sky.
It's bright like one and shines like one.
A baby lying in a manger.
There he is, after all this time.
And a fulfilled promise.
You will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus.
In Fulfillment is a biblical audio drama, over 40 voice actors, and the fulfilled moments of Jesus' life. Search In Fulfillment wherever you listen to podcasts, or just go to myfaithradio.com.
Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live. We're doing something a little different today, kind of in the heart of last Friday's show as well, just devoting some time to some Christmas stories and just inviting you into some of the deeper parts of twists and turns of our story in hopes to encourage you in your story. Thanks to Bethany House, we have 5 copies of my Advent devotional, Prepare Him Room, to give away. That'll come with some of those beautiful cards. But also, Kev and I, just in the spirit of Christmas, want to also offer to you 5 bundles of Your Powerful Prayers. Subtitle is Reaching the Heart of God with a Bold and Humble Faith. So a book and a DVD companion. 5 of you will get that. So you can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. And when you fill out the form, just so Angie knows, this is the show that and where the resources are. Either put prepare or powerful prayers to help her know what book and resource that you're looking for. So before the break, I was telling you the story of my oldest son, Jake, when he was in high school, asked to use my truck. And he is a trustworthy kid, but he was compliant and careful. He wasn't perfect, but he was obedient and we could trust him. But one night he took my truck when I'd asked him not to, just to go to point A to point B and not take it out again. There was a snowstorm and he and his buddies did some donuts in a parking lot and he smashed the truck, $3,000 worth of damage, and he was devastated. And we had a family meeting. We're not shamers. We did not shame him, but we also weren't going to cover it up by singing Kumbaya. You know, I mean, we were sitting down together to say, there are consequences when you're at this age. From here on in, choices you make can have life and death consequences. And we're older than you, so it means we're wiser and we've been around the block a few times, so you can trust when we have guardrails on your life. And he accepted it. And we said, you owe us $3,000 for the damage of that truck. So he started to do all kinds of odd jobs to pay it back, and he humbly took it. And we never shamed him. We never kept bringing it up. We loved him. We told him how proud we were of him, and just covered it as much as we could, just covered him in prayer and had lots of laughter times as a family. But we noticed about, I want to say, probably 9 months in, so I think he'd paid off about $1,700 or something like that. He was starting to get pretty down. It was just like, you know, $50 here, $30 here. It was taking him forever, and it was starting to have a reverse effect on him. And his birthday, mine is the 18th, his is the 20th, so his is even closer to Christmas. And we were just trying to make him smile, and he was learning to play guitar, and we're like, what do you want for Christmas? And I know he had his eye on this used guitar from a secondhand music shop, and just trying to get him to smile, and he's like, I don't know, you know, whatever. So anyway, Kevin and I prayed and we talked and we sought wisdom and we thought, he's really paid his dues and this is now having a reverse effect on him. And so we decided, you know, we'd like to have them have their friends over. We'd take them out to dinner for their birthdays when they were in high school. We brought him to his favorite steak place. We called ahead. So all of his friends are around and they were laughing and loving on him. And he was actually having a good time and he was looking everywhere for a guitar-shaped wrapped present. And he did get that, but he got it after we had it hidden. But we had, when it was time for the dessert, the waitress came out and set his favorite kind of cheesecake in front of him, and she drizzled in chocolate on the plate, debt forgiven. And he gasped when he saw it, and he stood up in his chair, almost fell backward, and he right in front of his friend started to cry, Mom, Dad, oh man, and he hugged us, and he just cried, and he just said, thank you, and it was so powerful. And then we got him the used guitar for his birthday, too, but it was just a powerful thing for all of us to, you know, there's a place for consequences, and then there's an absolute place for grace. He learned a really powerful lesson. But, you know, I have to say, even with how hard we tried to handle that well, there was still some shame that got in. And so I'm going to read out of your powerful prayers. I'm going to try to read in a way that's interesting to you. But and this is the chapter, Dare to Knock with Confidence. And first I quote Bo Stern, and the title of her book is The God Who Fights for You. And she says, "Your sin has not disqualified you from seeking his help in the heat of battle. When you feel surrounded by accusers with rocks in hand, you can be certain that God's not one of them. Our good, compassionate God, he lavishes mercy instead of anger on all who ask. Isn't that just the best news ever?" And Matthew 7:7-8 says, "Keep on asking, and you'll receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And everyone who knocks, the door will be opened." The other day, my son Jake called and asked me a question that was an unusual one for him. I hopped off the treadmill. I sat down on the edge and leaned in to listen to what pressed on his heart that day. "Mom, you know how I got my road bike back from Luke recently so I could sell it to buy drums? Well, I took it out for a ride today, and I had experience with God unlike I've had in a very long time. I felt a strong sense of God's presence and even his joy. I know that sounds crazy, but it made me second guess if I should sell this bike, you know? You and Dad bought it for me at a significant turning point in my life. I love it for so many reasons. But I'm feeling called to get back into drumming, especially on a worship team, and it's not financially responsible to hang on to this bike and buy drums, even if I can afford it. Is it?" This from a son who refused any financial help when he first graduated from college and moved to Nashville, where he lived on a $10 per hour job and the garden he planted in the backyard of the rental house where he lived. We knew he struggled financially, but the few times we offered help, he replied, "No, I've got this. I want to do this." We respected him greatly for his conviction and tenacity. Jake continued, "I need the drums when I eventually play on a worship team. Whereas the bike, well, it's just for my pleasure. I kind of feel guilty having both, but there's something about this bike that's so tied to my heart and my history. I normally don't ask questions like this. I just do what I have to do. But for some reason, I felt I needed to run this by you and hear your thoughts." I said, "Son, I love that you're wrestling with this question, especially given the materialistic entitlement society we're immersed in. But in this particular case, I wonder, might God want you to have both the bike and the drums? And are the drums more spiritual a possession than the bike? I mean, for me, when I exercise, I so sense God's presence and his goodness to me. The longer I walk with Christ, the less I tend to compartmentalize my spiritual life, you know? He's with me in all things. And every good gift comes from his hand." Jake and I went back and forth and processed why this notion seemed so difficult for him to swallow. Something about it tied him up. He couldn't bring himself to accept that such an extravagant gift might actually be God's idea, not his. So I asked one probing question after another and reflected on certain memories that helped shape his thinking over the years. We revisited an experience from his teenage years. Though he was a really compliant kid, one particular day, he took the bait from his prodding friends and used my Chevy Blazer to do donuts in a parking lot of freshly covered snow. Long story short, he pulled into a parking lot, spun around, hit a concrete structure, which caused about $3,000 worth of damage to my truck. We sat down as a family, processed what had happened. Jake's little brothers asked him questions, and he humbly answered them, every single one. Kev looked at Jake with that fatherly strength and said something to this effect, "Son, you've just taken a huge withdrawal from the trust account, and we have to deal with consequences of that costly choice. However, I want you to know something. Your trust account is not empty. We love you. We still trust you and totally respect you. You are a trustworthy son." I sat on the edge of my treadmill, held the phone close to my ear. "Jake, do you remember what you were doing when Dad said those words to you?" He whispered, "No, I don't." I continued, "You gripped the arms of the chair. You looked down at your feet, and you couldn't even look up at him." Jake went silent on the other end. "Honey, are you there?" His voice cracked and whispered, "Mom, I always knew you and Dad handled that incident brilliantly, but I couldn't exactly remember how it all played out that day. Something got in me when I made a choice that so defied the things I cared most about. I loved and respected both you and Dad so much, I could never imagine that I would do what I did. My own choice cut me deep, and I've never really been able to get past it. In fact, I had no idea that my posture was so shut down when Dad spoke to me. I faintly remember his words now, but they sure didn't go in back then. That's shame, son. That's what got in you that day. It's shame. And though you're a man of integrity, have never wanted our financial help in your young adult years, I wonder if mixed in with that nobility of yours is a stronghold of shame that won't allow you to receive help. Could it be that underneath your strong work ethic is a heart that doesn't believe that your parents or your heavenly father might want to lavish goodness on you that goes beyond your efforts and even beyond what you think you deserve? My voice cracked as I asked such probing questions. Again, more silence from Jake. Then my big husky firstborn son started to cry. I sucked in a sob and I said, "Oh, honey, can I just tell you I love you so much? And that shame, it's not from God and it's not from us." We both struggled to find words, and then he asked me, "Is this what has held me back all these years? Is this why it's difficult for me to receive out of the ordinary kinds of gifts and why I won't ask for your help or God's? Is it because of shame?" As I thought back to Jake's wandering years through college and his young adult years, I couldn't help but wonder if shame had a self-perpetuating nature, one that repeatedly seduces then accuses, finds you weak and wandering only to seduce and accuse you again until you're caught in a cycle that pulls you further from grace, not toward it. Was it shame that baited Jake away from the Father's heart and kept him away for the past several years? Jake waited for me to answer his question. "Is this what's held me back all these years?" "I think so, honey," I said. I'd given anything to wrap him up in a hug in that moment. But I continued, "Imagine how delightful your relationship with God could be if you could learn to approach him and even pursue him with the assurance and confidence because you're convinced that he's good and that he has set his affections upon you. I'd say right now you're missing the best parts of this relationship. But what joy for you to discover an unhindered, joy-filled relationship with your Father who loves you and loves to lavish his goodness upon you. Doing so will affect every aspect of your life, your work, your play, your bike riding, your morning coffee with your wife. Joy and confidence are accessible even amidst the battles you face, not just in those moments when you're doing something spiritual, like drumming on a worship team. You know, sometimes we can easily spot God's gifts and his grace. Other times, not so much. But how often does shame keep us from audaciously running into the arms of our Father, not only to receive grace just after we've blown it, but to dare to ask for things we would never or could ever earn, deserve, or acquire on our own? After my conversation with Jake, I wondered if shame was just a negative emotion and a skewed mindset, or is it an actual parasitic force that drains life, takes life, and keeps us from the life God has always intended for us? So I asked God to teach me more about shame. A couple days later, a friend handed me a book out of the blue. Its title, The Soul of Shame. We've had Dr. Kurt Thompson on plenty of times to talk about this topic, but here's what he writes. Shame's not just a consequence of something our first parents did in the Garden of Eden. It is, listen to this, the emotional weapon that evil uses to corrupt our relationship with God and each other, to disintegrate any and all gifts of vocational vision and creativity. These gifts include any area of endeavor that promote goodness, beauty, and joy in and for the lives of others, whether that be teaching our first graders, loving our spouse well, managing forests, conducting healing prayer services, creating a new medical technology, offering psychotherapy, or composing symphonies. Listen, shame is a primary means to prevent us from using the gifts we've been given. And those gifts enable us to flourish as a light-bearing community of Jesus followers. Shame, therefore, is not simply an unfortunate random emotional event that came with us out of our primordial evolutionary soup. It is both a source and a result of evil's active assault on God's creation. Hear that again. Shame is both a source and the result of evil's active assault on God's creation and a way for evil to try to hold out until the new heaven and earth appear at the consummation of history. End of quote. So I continue to write, if shame keeps us from the best of what God has for us, shouldn't we be more earnest in calling it what it is so we can shun the shame of our youth and thus become who God always intended us to be and receive all he's promised us? Consider what's true about some of the mindsets we often embrace without even thinking about it. It's not humility that compels us to shy away from God and ask little from Him. It's shame. It's not integrity that keeps us from asking for God's help when we need it. It's pride, independence, and shame. It's not noble to go without something that God has promised to provide. It's an orphan mentality rooted in shame. It's not justice that keeps us far from God after we've blown it. It's shame. It's not kindness that keeps us from, quote, bothering God with our persistent requests. It's either spiritual laziness or shame. How often does shame keep us from the kind of audacity in prayer and pursuit of fellowship that Jesus invites us to? I'm going to pause here, but I want to leave you with this thought as we go to break. We don't have to try to convince God to be good. In fact, He's the one trying to convince us to receive and walk in His goodness. I'm challenging you what Esther and Melissa and Karna were on the show, my Marvel Praying Warriors. Esther started to challenge me 2 months ago because I tend to brace for impact for some reason around my birthday, which is a week before Christmas. She challenged me 2 months ago. How about you pray for some birthday and Christmas miracles? And as I've been seeking God, as uncomfortable as that has been, God is opening my eyes to the wonder of His goodness all around me. I would have missed it if I wasn't seeking and looking and asking and knocking. So how about you do the same? How about you open your hands and ask God and see what He might say? Angie and I will pray for some of you on the other side. I'm going to share a little bit more just about Christmas and about what God has for us. As we pause here, remember we've got some great resources to give away. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. If you want prepare, just put that in the form. And if you want Your Powerful Prayers with the DVD, put that, Your Powerful Prayers. We'll be back in a moment.
Hey, this is Carmen LaBurge, host of Mornings with Carmen on the Faith Radio Network. I'm seeking to reconnect the eternal with the everyday. I do that in part through conversations about today's relevant issues, hopefully helping to equip you to bring Christ back into every conversation in your life. You can subscribe to my daily podcast at myfaithradio.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth.
Hope you're having a really great day. We're having a unique show today where I'm just sharing stories and insights and thoughts around the twists and turns in some of our story. What you just heard me reading from, if you were listening this last segment, was from my book, Your Powerful Prayers, Reaching the Heart of God with a Bold and Humble Faith, writing about shame, and so happy to give away, just Merry Christmas, haven't told Kev yet, but he'll be fine. Five of you will receive a book and DVD bundle. Those are $45 bundle packs. And then five of you, if you enter the drawing, from Bethany House will receive my Advent Devo Prepare Hymn Room. You can enter the drawing this way. Text the word book to 877-933-2484. So I've been talking about just cultivating a heart that is expectant of God's goodness, that wants to hear from God, where if we can change our mindset, where our default thoughts about God are that He's good, that He's kind, that He is for us, and that we live in a fallen world. We've got a relentless, ruthless enemy. But God never stops being good. And He does allow hardship because He gives man free will. But He so brilliantly redeems every aspect of our story. And He does temper the storm, even though it feels like it will kill us. We're struck down, but not destroyed. And I'll tell you, there's so many times where I felt struck down and destroyed, but I wasn't. I'm still standing. And when I look back, I go, you know what? There was grace there. There was provision there. And I'm smarter now. I have more wisdom. I have more of a handle on His word. I'm wiser to the enemy's schemes. These battles have not been wasted on me, and your battles have not been wasted on you. Well, in Prepare Him Room, I talk about, so we're walking through Luke's gospel in Prepare Him Room. And there was, in Luke's gospel, Jesus talks about the parable of the soils and how I kind of break the soils down as not guarded, not grounded, not given to the things of God. Those are the first three soils. The fourth soil was the soil that's cultivated, and that's the soil that can produce 30, 60 to 100 times what's planted. So the seed is the word of God. The soil is the condition of our hearts. So I'm going to just read, and I'll take some music again, Angie, if you don't mind, but I'm going to read from Prepare Him Room three different scenarios. Just I kind of painted a vision, so to speak, a word picture of what it might look like in each of these soils. So the first soil is the not guarded soil. Picture Jesus in all his glory, strength, and wisdom. Imagine his gentle yet firm and confident demeanor. He stands in a woman's kitchen and he whispers truth to her soul. But she's filled her heart with so much angst towards others that she can't hear a thing. She constantly rehashes her hurts and stirs herself right into a self-justified tizzy. God whispers to her heart, invites her to rehearse his promises instead. She senses a small opening to think differently, to believe the best, and to consider forgiveness as an option. But just as quickly, she brushes away the idea. She goes about her stressed holiday, hoping by some random chance, things will be different this year. That's not guarded soil, not grounded. Next, Jesus visits an eager soul who's always into the next new thing. She agrees to go to church with her neighbor and absolutely loves the worship and the message. She thinks to herself, I'm going to start attending church. This is great. But as soon as she gets home, her attention deficit kicks in and she's off to the next Christmas cocktail party on her calendar. She forgets all about her worship experience and goes happily along her way. She has heart, but no depth. The third soil, not given to the things of God. Jesus heads next to the home of a wealthy woman of high status in the community. She continues to live beyond her means, both financially and physically, which constantly keeps her stretched to her limits. He sits with her as she sits through Bible study. She's grateful she made time for it, given all that she has to do to get ready for her Christmas gatherings. She checks her watch, makes a few notes on her phone, and just then hears the last part of the instructor's sentence, Jesus is our Prince of Peace. We need him every moment of every hour. So true, she thinks to herself. Then it's time to go. Before she knows it, Christmas time has come and gone. Months have passed, and she can't remember the last time she cracked open her Bible. From the outside looking in, people think she's got it all. But she's built her house and her life on sinking sand. And now the fourth soil, guarded, grounded, and given fully to the things of God. Jesus has one more stop to make. He smiles as he makes his way up the walkway of a simple home surrounded by snow-covered pines. A woman opens the door and invites him in. Together they sit by the light of the Christmas tree and talk about her children, her grandchildren, and her recent answers to prayer. Jesus marvels at her faith. She's overwhelmed by his love. Jesus leans in and gets serious for a moment. He encourages her to reach out to the neighbor who seemed especially quiet these days. She needs some hope and encouragement. In fact, she's home today and could use a visit. Jesus also brings to mind a passage of scripture that will come in handy in the days ahead. She's not sure what's up ahead, but she trusts him and holds his words close to her heart. You know, Jesus speaks to us through his word, through the inner nudges of the Holy Spirit, through others, and through everyday circumstances that the untrained ear might miss. God himself tells his people, this is my son. Listen to him. How much more of a charge do we need? Think about it. Those who cultivate a listening life and they respond to what Jesus says, their lives are going to abound in fruit. They're going to walk in power. And they'll continually enjoy fellowship with God. Scripture promises to the one who listens, they'll receive even more revelation. Whatever they know now is just a taste of the wisdom and the insight to come. But for those who squander God's instruction, who dismiss his precious voice in their ear, even the little wisdom and insight they have will dissipate. What's more important than what God has to say? There's nothing like God's presence. There's no substitute for his power. He's working in your life even now. What if you were more present with God and with others this holiday season? What might God show you? Angie, we just have a couple minutes left. And I'm wondering if we could just grab as many of these as we can and take turns praying.
Absolutely.
Okay. I'll take this one at the top and we'll just maybe work downward. But this dear one says, a Christmas miracle to have a son who has piled offenses without any ability to reconnect or communicate. He got angry 5 years ago, told her he can no longer be around. She can no longer be around the children. The enemy has a stronghold in our relationship. May God bring love and forgiveness to feel the unconditional love that she has for him and his wife and the kids. Oh, my goodness. Father God, she says she senses they really do want a path back, but they won't take the step. Father, in heaven, we pray the blood of Jesus over this family, and we put the cross of Jesus Christ between every demonic scheme against this family and every family represented in our listening ears, and that you'd cut off every demonic scheme. In Jesus' name, open the eyes of this son. Awaken his heart, God. I pray you'd wake him up in the middle of the night. I pray you'd allow him to see movies and to hear stories, whatever it takes to wake him up to the reality of your love so that he does not squander any more time being disconnected with his family. Jesus, we pray for Christmas miracle in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord, and I pray for this listener who has needs emotional healing from broken trust from a mentor, Lord. And I know that there are a lot of broken relationships, and anything that we're experiencing at Christmas seems amplified, Lord. And so I pray for reconciliation in this relationship. I pray for reconciliation in families that are far from each other, that have members who are far from you. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would do a work that we could not even anticipate you doing, Lord. And God, I just want to pray a blessing on Susie. Her birthday is on Sunday. I thank you for her work. I thank you for the work that she does, the way that she serves you, the way that she honors you in everything that she does. Lord, I pray that you would give her a special blessing in Jesus' name.
Wow. Thank you, friend. Thank you, hon. And thank you, friends, for listening today. Steve, thank you for your text. Love you back. I appreciate you so much for your encouragement. I do pray you found some encouragement here. God meets us on the dirt paths and the twists and turns of our stories, and he's good, and he will be good again. God bless you, and we'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to Susie Larson Live. Podcasts like mine are available because of your support. If it's important to you to hear things that encourage your faith, click the link in the show notes and give now.